Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Hallelujah. Did you bring a Bible this morning? Praise God. Well, I want you to open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and just kind of sit tight for a moment. We're going to get to that verse because that's going to be my main verse that we're going to be dealing with here this morning. Those of you who were here last Sunday with us, it was Communion Sunday, and of course, I do say this often about our communion services, that I come with a message, but I'm always prepared that we're not going to get to the message. And last Sunday was no different. This is a Holy Spirit church. The Holy Spirit's in charge of this church. So we just follow his leading and we preach what God wants, and that's what we do. Amen. And last Sunday was a powerful service. But I did mention that, you know, the service that I did, or at least the notes that I had, that I was planning on preaching this, and God said, yes, you can, but he changed it a little bit on me. Pretty much like he always does, but still. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Not ashamed of the anointing to preach this gospel. Not ashamed of the anointing to preach this gospel. Because believe it or not, we're living in a day where people are actually ashamed, embarrassed about the flow of God, the anointing of God. They're ashamed of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can preach this Bible without the anointing of God and have, I don't know, a lecture, religion. But it takes the anointing of God. It takes the presence of God. It takes the Holy Spirit working on our lives, dealing with us, confirming his word in us. Amen. Building our faith so the things that we're preaching and teaching that God can demonstrate, that God can reveal to us. He can illuminate those things to us, right? Build our faith. You can't build faith without God. You might have an understanding. You might have all the verses, but you can't do it without God. And we're not naming. We're not picking. We're just dealing with us. One thing that we will never do here is be ashamed of God. Amen. So we're going to deal with that in just a few moments. But before we get there, I want to just kind of remind you of how we got here. Because we're still on this same idea that, you know, we are called by God to do something. Right? So back in John, if you remember the last couple of services we were dealing with this, John 14, Jesus speaking, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, not just simply believes in me, but believes on me. That believes on versus in says, okay, I just believe, I trust. You know, there's a lot of people who have trust in things. They say they do, but okay, where's the connection? That the understanding with that on, I have believe on, who believe on Jesus. It says, not only do I have trust in him, I believe him, but I'm going to come in close proximity to him. I'm connecting myself with him. Amen. You know, it's one thing to say that, you know, for any married couple, I don't know who you are, where you're at, or what you're dealing with, or families. But, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, I love my spouse. But it's another thing to actually go home and live with your spouse. Not being funny, but come on. How many people, oh, no, I love. Okay, well, when's the last time you've been home? When's the last time you showed it? When's the last time you demonstrated it? When's the last time you were around that you proved that you love them? It's one thing to say something. You know, the modern church is famous for lip service. We say a whole bunch of things with no authority, no anointing, no proof that backs it. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want proof. I want to see the tangible, evident proof that God is still doing what he said he would do. And you know what I love about church? He proves it every service. When we look around and we see, I just heard my pastor say this again, and I think it was John Osteen who said it to him. So my pastor, his pastor was John Osteen, who's in heaven now. But he said, you know, out of the fivefold ministry gifts, one of the greatest or one of the most miracles under any of those five is under the pastor. Now, that doesn't make sense because we think about the evangelists and these great miracles that happen, these sudden miracles that happen. He said, yeah, but there may be some spectacular things. God's trying to get people's attention. He said, but the most miracles happen under the pastor's office. Because the pastors are the ones who live with the people. The pastors are the ones that are building their faith, dealing with them. The pastors are the ones that are there in their moment of trial and issue and problem, and building and standing and encouraging and watching God bring the healing miracles, the financial miracles, believing and seeing God do all those things, marriages being restored, prodigals coming home. Amen? Amen. So every service we come in here, we look around and we see nothing but miracles, because that's what God does. He's in the miracle business. He's performing miracles in our lives, people being set free, delivered from all these weird things. And as the days get weirder, there's weirder things to get delivered from. Right? And listen, no offense, and don't, I'm going to say this as kindly as I can, but I don't care what your belief is. Some of these things that we're legalizing, just because it's legal doesn't make it right. And just because they said it's legal, well, it's okay, I can do it. Yeah, well, that's got you in bondage. And even the scriptures, God's Holy Spirit told us that some of these things are doorways, gateways for Satan to have entrance to your life. And you wonder why some of these weird things are going on in your life. Well, they say it's legal, so it's okay, I won't get in trouble anymore. Oh, you may not get in trouble with the law, but Satan's having a field day with you. So people come to church and they start to find out, even though man says it's okay, God still says it's wrong, but God has an answer and a way out. And God is healing and he's delivering and come on, amen? Yes. So verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, so what Jesus did, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And of course, we've been dealing with that. Well, what are the works that he did? Because we're never going to do greater, and greater doesn't mean better. Just means more, because there's more of us. Right? But the works that he did, we got to look at what the works, and that's what we've been emphasizing. What did Jesus do? And in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, it says in that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The anointing of God is upon him. Now, he is God. But the reason why it says in an Old Testament, he's quoting the Old Testament, now he's walking and demonstrating this, is the understanding that if he needed it, how much more do we? You know, we're not above him. So if God, and this is why he did certain things, you know, John the Baptist, he's like, oh no, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. Yeah. Now, he was 100% right in what he said. But what did Jesus say? No, just let it be so for now. Why? Because Jesus was doing and showing something that would be a benefit and a blessing to us. He didn't need it. We did. He didn't need the anointing because he was the anointed one. But yet, because he's the anointed one, and we see that if he needed it, how much more do we? He did these things so we understand this is how we walk. This is how we function. If we're going to do what God said to do, we got to do what God said to do to get it. Amen? Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, and he says, why we have this anointing. Because if we're going to do the same works as him, we need the same anointing he needed. And then what is that anointing for? Well, he begins to say it. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Say, preach the gospel. Every one of us, if you're born again, you've met Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how far into your walk you are, that anointing is on you to bring the good news of what God is doing in your life. You're not perfected. You haven't arrived. Truthfully, until you see him face to face, that means in heaven, God will never be done with you. Even the Apostle Paul said it, I haven't arrived. And he's at the end of his ministry. He's getting ready to go see Jesus face to face. And he's like, listen, I know I haven't arrived, but this one thing I've got down, I keep reaching forward. I know there's something more he's got for me. I know there's something else he's dealing with me on. I know there's something else he's strengthening me on. Amen. I'm not holding on to, okay, I've arrived back there. He goes, I know I haven't. I'm pressing forward to the mark, to the calling that he's got for me. What's that calling? To get closer and closer to him each and every day. Can you say amen? So the anointing to preach the gospel, to who? The poor. What's the poor? Somebody who's in need. What's the gospel? The good news. Ultimately, we're talking about salvation. That word salvation, sozo in the Greek, saved, healed, delivered, made whole, made to prosper. Five categories, five elements that when we bring the good news, the gospel, we are telling people that are in need. They're bound by things. They're lost in things. They're going to hell. That you don't have to go to hell. That's good news. Yes. They're bound. You don't have to be bound. That's good news. Yes. You're sick. You're dying. You don't have to be sick and dying. That's good news. You may have been born on the wrong side of the tracks or under the tracks, but guess what? You don't have to live there. God's got a better way for you. Just because that's where your family came from, that doesn't mean that's where you have to stay. That's good news. Just because all these generational things have gone down your entire family line, it can end with you. And not just end with you, that you have to suffer and your kids no longer. No, you can break that thing and be set free from it. That's good news. Amen. So we're all called to preach the gospel, to bring that good news. Because again, no matter where you are in your walk, you may not know much, but you know something. I was going to hell, but I'm not going anymore. I've got peace now. I'm not right. God's still dealing with me, but I've got peace now knowing, okay, I'm on the right path. I realize now I was heading the wrong way. Now I'm heading in the right direction. That's good news. And then as God continues to grow you and deal with you and deliver you, and that salvation is still working in you, your gospel categories get bigger and bigger, broader and broader. And you've got more that you can preach and teach. But ultimately, I'm going to heaven. I got the revelation why I was so miserable. Why I was so frustrated all the time. I didn't realize that there was a hell waiting for me. But Jesus died so I don't have to go to that hell. Amen. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This is what the anointing's for. This was the anointing that was on Jesus. But if we're going to do the same works that he did, this is the same anointing that's going to be on us. To preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Amen. Amen. I keep saying it because there's truth to this. We're famous in the modern church to preach. We preach deliverance to those who are already delivered. Now, yes, we remind each other, we testify, and we keep this thing, you know, before us. Wait a minute. Yes, we've been set free, so let's take this to somebody else so they can be set free. The problem with the church, and we're going to get to this in just a moment, is the church is becoming ashamed, embarrassed, timid. And we're not taking this gospel anymore. We're not doing what the anointing is called to do, though we're anointed to do it. In Jesus' name, we're going to fix that. Amen. Amen. And that's not everybody, and that's not every church. But we can see this in the body of Christ right now. Yes. So the anointing's there to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering sight to the blind. We kind of took a couple of services and talked about that a little bit. Yes. Natural, physical blindness, but more than that, spiritual blindness. To bring the light of the word to those that are living in darkness. And we dealt with a service on that, just talking about even people sitting in church, because God said that, listen, even my own people are sitting in spiritual darkness. And my thought was, well, how is that possible? And he's like, people who just are blinded to certain things about my gospel. Because what did we just read? To bring good news, to bring healing. Well, how many, and we're not going around judging people and don't go, you know, looking at churches and what they preach, but we understand the idea that some churches don't believe in healing today. Right. But if our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if he healed yesterday, that means he's healing today. Yes. And if you look around this church, we've got proof. Oh, yeah. And if he's healing today, he'll be healing tomorrow. So don't think, well, I wasn't there and I wasn't going through anything yesterday, but now I'm going through something, but all the healing virtue was used yesterday. No, he's still healing. Amen. He's still delivering. He's still setting the captives free. But there's many doctrines, there's many churches, there's many believers. Oh no, that healing was only to heal you spiritually. Well, yes, it was to heal you spiritually. You're not going to heaven without that healing. We call it the born-again experience. Your spirit man was dead, and now it's alive. So, yes, you were healed spiritually, but God wants to make you whole. Yes. And we're created in the image of God. We're a three-part being, just as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're a spirit, soul, and we live in a body. He wants all three realms of you whole, healed, delivered, set free. Amen? So, my point with that is there are some believers who are sitting in spiritual darkness because the blinders have been put on. Satan has blinded through doctrines, through denominations, and through the pushing away of the Holy Spirit. Being embarrassed and ashamed of God's anointing in his presence. They're satisfied to come in and sit in their darkness and have religion. And God says, I'm not satisfied with that at all. That's not why I gave you this anointing. That's not why this anointing is upon you. I gave you this anointing to preach this gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to set free those who are captive. Amen. To bring sight to those who are not just physically blind, but also spiritually blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised, oppressed. Those that Satan's got, it just keeps pushing down, beaten down. Amen. Verse 19 says, and to preach. The anointing is on us to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Please get this. Jesus Christ, when he walked on this planet, he went about doing what? Good. Healing all, right? Raising the dead, healing the sick, delivering those who are captive. When he came and he spoke this, he said, today this is fulfilled within your eyes, your ears. You're witnessing this right now. I am doing this right now. That word acceptable year, it's a season. It's a period of time. It has not expired just because he went to heaven. What he was saying, that's why he said, you're going to do these things and greater. He said, that anointing that was on me will be on you, and it will remain on you until I come back for you. We are still living that acceptable year of the Lord. We're still in that season where his anointing is working, delivering, setting free, healing. Come on. But again, how many, don't raise your hand. This is kind of rhetorical because I already know the answer. How many of you have heard from somebody? When you start to preach, when you start to teach, and usually it's not the world. It's carnal Christians. Oh, no, we don't need church today. Well, that's funny. God said otherwise. Yes. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. 25 says, forsake not the assembly together, and that much more so. That means you better get in church more as that time approaches. What time? Jesus coming back for his church. Now, if you study the whole Bible, you also find out before Jesus comes back, there's going to be a great falling away. Right. The church is going to start rebelling against the things of God. We live there. So God says, you need to go to church and that much more.
Yes.
Why? Well, in another passage, we find that he's got to come and shorten the time even for the elect's sake. God is saying, listen, you may think that your walk is strong and solid with me, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're not as big and as bad as you think you are. You can't do this without me. And if you're not planted in the house of God under the anointing of God, you're not going to make it all the way. Now, I'm not saying you're going to hell. But you're not going to walk under the anointing that God has for you.
Right.
You can't do this without him. And you can't do it without his ways.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So we hear that church isn't for today. We hear that the fivefold ministry gifts are not for today. That's funny. Our God is the same yesterday, today, forever. And Jesus is the one who gave us those gifts. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where he said, I gave you the fivefold gift and they're only going to work until the apostles die. Because their next thing is, well, no, the apostles died with Peter, James, and John. That's funny. I don't see that anywhere in the scriptures. And then how do you explain the anointing that's on individuals to do what those offices do, even still today? They're not doing it by their strength. They're not doing it by their anointing. No, it's the power of God, the anointing of God. So they give us all these cockamamie things. You know, church isn't for today. Healing's not for today. The fivefold's not for today. You don't need a pastor. That's funny. Ephesians 4 says otherwise. Tithing's not for today. That's amazing. Hebrews 7 says otherwise. And go down the list. Spiritually blind. Because we've been ashamed. We pushed aside. So when God was dealing with me on that, he's like, listen, this is part of the anointing of the gospel. It illuminates.
Yes.
It brings light back onto the things that I've already established. These are not new doctrines.
Right.
These have been established. I want to say forever, because they have. It's God's word. These words are as eternal as he is. Oh, you know I'm not going to get through a service without tripping over something here or there. So praise God. Amen. So we've been talking about this anointing. This anointing is on us to preach this gospel. Amen. Now, yes, we preach and teach on other things, you know, too, to grow us and mature us, and that's what church is for. But the emphasis has to be on this part right here. Why are people coming to church? What's going to draw them to church? It's his healing power. It's his salvation. That's what draws us to him. And then when we start experiencing and living this, man, I want more of this. What else do you have for me? What else do I have to do? Because I don't have to. I want to do this. I start to have that desire in me. This is not because I have to because of religious things. No, I want to do this. And I don't, no offense, I don't care what you think about it. Because you didn't die for me. He did. You weren't filleted for me. He was. You weren't so disfigured that you didn't even look like a man, a human. He did that for me. And I didn't deserve it. He went to hell so I didn't have to. But thank God when he did, he snatched back those keys. That not only do I don't have to, but anybody attached to me, that I can get this gospel in their ears and in their heart, they don't have to go either. Amen. That's why we have this anointing. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the tithe. I'm not ashamed of church attendance. That's right. I don't come here because I'm the pastor.
That's right.
I could have said no to God. I kind of sort of did for a long time.
Yep.
I'm not here because I'm the pastor. I'm here because of everything he's done for me. And if, honestly, if it's just me, my wife, and my two daughters, Ginny, because I'll drag her out of the basement. But seriously, if it's just my family, we'll still come here and do the same thing. We'll still come here and have worship. We'll still come here and present the holy tithe. We'll still come. Hey, if it's just the five of us, I'll lay hands on all of them every week. I don't care. Because I'm not ashamed. Let's go to that verse right now. Romans, you there? I gave you plenty of time to find it. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, 16. Let me get there. I can quote it, but there's a few things I want to deal with out of it. Romans 1, 16. I know the teenagers can quote this. You guys hear this a lot when you go to Invasion. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Of Jesus Christ. Not your good news. Not their good news. His good news. Because man has a tendency to change and alter what God has said. Churches and religion have a tendency to alter and change what God has said. I'm not ashamed of what Jesus said. I'm not ashamed of his good news. I'm not ashamed of his gospel. And because I'm not ashamed, and the reason why I'm not ashamed, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. Say power.
Power.
It's the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. So it's, the gospel has a direct connection to salvation working in our lives. I know that's pretty simple and should be fairly obvious, but I'm going somewhere with this. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Okay, well now you got to believe it. And believe just simply say, well, okay, I accept that. No, it takes a little deeper than just, oh, I accept that. It goes back to believing unto Christ. I believe this, I trust you in this, and because of this, I'm coming alongside of you in this. Because I can't have this without you. Salvation is not from Jesus, it's with him. Peace is not from him, it's with him. Healing is not from him, it's with him. And you go down the list of every blessing that this Bible has to say, it's not from, it's with. You can't have it and sustain it without him. This is why a lot of people will get their miracles. They'll see their, you know, God doing and going and you know, even down to salvation, meaning going to heaven and escaping hell. You can't have salvation. You can't go to heaven without Jesus. You can't meet him one day and then down the road say, you know what, I like everything about your kingdom. I want to go to heaven, but I'm just tired of you. That's why Jesus said, you can blaspheme me. You can blaspheme the Father. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there is no redemption. I'm going to paraphrase it. You'll burn in hell forever. It's the unpardonable sin. Why? Because you can't be born again without the Holy Spirit. When you get born again, as we call it, Jesus said it to Nicodemus, you must be born again. When you say, you know, there's different ways to say it. We call it the sinner's prayer, prayer of salvation. But basically what you're doing is you're surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. You realize that there was a hell waiting for you, but God has a heaven for you. Hell was never designed for you, but because of Satan and the fall of man, that's where we're going. But Jesus paid the price that you don't have to go there. But just because he paid the price doesn't mean it's automatic. Another weird doctrine of the day. No, you have to have and put your trust and your faith in him. That what he did for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And because he did this for you, not only do you believe it, you have to receive it. I don't have to go to hell, so I don't want to go to hell, and I'm not going to live like I'm going to hell.
Right.
Which means you have to change how you're living. That means you start following after Jesus Christ. You start living a life according to his way of walking. Amen. That's why he's the way, he is the truth, and he's the life. So you meet him, you receive him, and then you walk with him. Not walk from him, you walk with him. Because if he's our Lord and Savior, then don't you think maybe a Lord should lord over us? I know Lord doesn't fit our modern terminology, but it's his way, not our way.
Amen.
The Bible says that he purchased us with a severe price. Yeah, he laid his life down for us. God left his throne to come to this earth to be spit on, mocked on, ridiculed, beaten, filleted, whipped so severely that his flesh was barely hanging on. He left heaven to pay a price that you and I can't pay. To purchase us, to redeem us, to pay the ransom for us. That Satan said, I've got them. You want them? This is the price. And God said, all right, I can pay that price.
Yes.
They can't, I can. And Satan never thought for a second that God would actually do it. Because even the Bible says, if they had known. Well, they wasn't just the people. They was Satan and every demon that thought they had won. If they had known the price had been paid, they never would have put him on the cross. So Satan understands how severe this is. Just humans don't seem to get it. Worse is when the church doesn't get it. But we are purchased with a high price. We are purchased. Say purchased.
Purchased.
If you purchase something, don't you own it?
Yes.
Don't you have authority over it? Don't you have the right to say how it's going to be used, when it's going to be used, if it's going to be used? If you own it and it's yours, don't you have that authority and that right? Don't you expect that thing, that object, whatever it is, to respond to what you say and not another? I don't know about you, but I like the fact that I own my car. I like the fact that those keys belong to me. Nobody can take them away. They're mine. I got the title and deed. It's mine. And when I go out there and I turn that key, I expect that thing to start. Because I own it. I have an expectation it's going to do what I want it to do. Why do we think it's any different with our Jesus? Now, I know that sounds cold. The beautiful part about this relationship is it's just that. It's a relationship. God purchased us. Jesus purchased us. But it's not just a slave mentality. But know that we're now joint heirs with him. He purchased, we belong to him. He's got a better way of living, a better way of, you know, not just serving him, but living this life and then going to be with him. He knows how to navigate us through this life that we don't hit all the pitfalls and the pits and the traps and everything else that we've been living in, right? Because he purchased us and he's got a better way to lead us if we just follow him.
Amen.
Amen. You know, my truck, it's under my authority. We got a serious problem if I go out to my garage and it's now outside on its own. I'll be dealing with it. I'm trying to figure out how on earth they got outside. But come on. If I'm talking about a stupid truck, how much more does God feel about you and I? When we get off course and we're not where we're supposed to be, because the way he wants us is going to bring us health, blessing, strength, encouragement, joy, all the prosperity and blessings that he has for us. He purchased us. Amen. So it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Just because you said a prayer doesn't mean you're automatically going to heaven.
Right.
It's not the prayer. It's the heart connected to the prayer. The prayer is not the final deal. The prayer is where it starts. And it begins a brand new walk, a brand new life. Amen.
Amen.
The power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believes. To the Jew first, because he came to his people first. And then also to the Greeks. Now, I know Andrew's Greek, but that may not be the rest of us. But the Greek, you know, fits the understanding is the world, because these were the other people that were in that area. These were the other places that, especially in this case, that Paul's preaching to. That's referring to going out to the world. So that's you and I. So God's people first and then us. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is the power. Say power again.
Power.
Power. In the Greek, that word power is dunamis.
Yes.
We're dunamis. Now, we get a couple of words from that. One, we hear it preached most of the time, dynamite.
Yes.
But there's another word that has a direct connection to it, which is dynamo. That word dynamo. It's kind of a weird word. But understanding what this is talking about, for the gospel is the power. It's this dynamo. Not a term that we would use necessarily today, but we do understand what it means with a couple of other words. Another word would be generator. Or if you have a car, alternator. And I'm just using that, I'm going to really dumb that part down, because today it has a different meaning. But in our older cars, it used to be called a generator. What does that have to do with this? Well, it's the gospel. It's the gospel that has the power unto salvation. It's the gospel that has the power, that dunamis power, to bring salvation, to keep salvation, to sustain salvation.
Right.
It's that dunamis power. What does that have to do with your car and that generator? Because the generator itself, the alternator, let's just use that, again, just dumbing it down, because you car guys don't come and explain to me how it works. I know how it works. But this idea is the generator itself, the alternator itself, it looks cool. It has all the potential. But by itself, it does nothing. It has no power. It has no authority. It'll look good on your car. Some of you old hot rodders and muscle car guys, we can get the nice ones that are all chromed out and it looks all flashy and fancy. And you pop the hood and it's like, wow, look at that. It's beautiful. Doing nothing. But there's something that it has the ability to do, providing something else is connected to it. The only way that thing works is if it's connected to the engine of your vehicle. Again, I'm dumbing this down. It's connected to that engine. That engine is what moves it. That engine is what motivates it. That engine is what gives it power. That engine, the dunamis power, the power part is what is produced by the gospel. The engine is the gospel. But again, that engine, I just got finished working on a car and kind of building a car, and when I got done with it, man, it looked nice.
Yes.
I'm a car guy, so just bear with me for a few moments. Some of you guys saw it and I showed it off to you. Look at what I did. It looked nice. Especially the old hot rod guys, those muscle car guys. You pop that hood, it's like, oh man, that thing is sharp. That thing is beautiful. Especially you Chevy guys. This thing was gorgeous. But sitting there with no life in it, it does nothing.
Right.
Just like your Bible sitting on the shelf at home.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
Just because it's there doesn't mean it has the power to do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
You got to do something with it.
Yes.
Amen. And God did set this up a certain way. Carnal Christians don't like this. You're here, so I know you like this. It's called church.
Yes.
There's many elements to this, but church is one of them. So the engine is the gospel. The generator, the alternator, is what the power being produced, because this dunamis power is a power that reproduces after itself. So once you get that engine fired up and you get that engine going, that alternator that's doing nothing by itself, once it gets rolling, it starts creating electricity. And if man didn't make it, and I say it for this reason because everything we make fails at some point, but the potential is, as long as that engine keeps running, that alternator will keep producing power after itself forever until you shut that engine off. So when we stop preaching the gospel, the power stops flowing. But how do you get the engine going? Again, I'm dumbing this down. It takes something to get the engine going and keep it going. It's called fuel.
Yes.
The fuel is the anointing of God. It's the presence of God. You get that fuel flowing through that engine, that thing will get fired up, that thing will get roaring, and it'll start getting that power being produced and continue to produce after itself. And no matter what you put on it, we would call it a load. No matter what load you put on it, turn your lights on, turn the radios on. You know, some of you guys who, you know, got the stupid radio systems that are more expensive than the car itself. Doesn't matter how much of a load you put on it, that power will be there to take care of everything that it needs to take care of. Just like the gospel, when it's being preached, when it's going, when it's flowing, the gospel has enough power to sustain itself, regenerate itself, keep producing after itself, to keep that salvation working in your life. The fact that you're going to heaven, the fact you can walk in peace, the fact that you can not only be delivered but remain delivered, because it's producing after itself. But the fuel part, this is the part nobody likes. See, I'm a car guy, but I'm not just that car guy who wants to put the car in, you know, in the bubble and just look at it. Yeah. If I have a car, I want to enjoy it.
Yes.
I want to know what it's capable of doing. I want to put that pedal to the metal and see, okay, can those wheels really break free, and how long will they stay broken free without getting in trouble? No, I'm going to enjoy it. I want to use it. I don't want to just look at it. It was built for a reason, to enjoy. It was built to take me from point A to point B. And the bigger and badder that motor is, the quicker I can get there. Amen? Well, the fuel is what happens in here. It's the preaching of the gospel. It's coming and sitting under the word of God. You hear the word. You believe the word. You apply the word. And God proves his word.
Amen.
And then it keeps producing after itself. It keeps producing after itself. I know that sounds simple. I know it sounds silly. But the reality is there are many people. And you know, if you may know some people in your life. They got excited for God. They were hot for God. They came to church. They started serving in the house. They worshiped. They did everything that Christians do.
Yeah.
And then something happened.
Yeah.
They stopped filling up the tank. They stopped filling up the tank, and then eventually they just parked the car in the garage and said, look at what I got.
Wow.
It looks great, it's just not doing anything. And even worse than that, it's not producing after itself anymore. You got the alternator there, it's all shiny, it's all chromed up, but it's not doing anything.
Wow.
Forgive the car analogy.
So good.
But it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Why? Because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And then eventually that thing just sits there. And everybody says, let me take you out to my garage. See what I got? It looks nice, doesn't it? See how shiny this is? But you know what? Even the shiniest of cars, over time, that chrome starts to dull.
Yes.
Pitting gets on there. Rust gets on there. You can keep polishing it, but it happens because of where we live and, you know, the environments and elements and all that stuff. But even worse than that, what was in the tank begins to corrode from the inside out. Because it's sitting stagnant now. It starts breaking down now. It starts destroying from the inside out. Never God's intent. God's anointing never destroys. But when you start to deplete that, somebody else is coming to fill that tank. Somebody else is putting something else in that tank. Years ago, I don't know if I should even say this. Years ago, it used to be a thing that, you know, if people were messing with people's cars, they'd pour sugar down the tank. Well, some of you guys remember all those issues back in the day, because that sugar would get in the gas and it wouldn't just dissolve. It would go through and clog up. In modern cars, the injectors, older cars, the carburetors, you'd have to tear that thing apart. You'd have to flush the system out. It was a pain to get that system right again just because of a little bit of sugar. You think Satan doesn't come along and tries to dump stuff into your tank? Come on. When you're not in church and you're not keeping that tank full the way you're supposed to, the way God intended, oh, the enemy is going to make sure your tank is full.
Oh, yeah.
With his junk, with his crud.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yes.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, we'll preach messages like this, and, you know, some people like it, some don't. I'm not going to change my message because you don't.
Right.
Because this is what God's word says. And on top of that, after 40, we're going 42 years of ministry here. After 42 years of ministry, we've got so much proof in here that this is how this works.
Oh, yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
That I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not backing down on this. If this is the gospel that got me saved,
yes.
If this is the gospel that got me delivered from the hatred and the anger that I used to have, the bitterness and the wanting to get even with everybody. Because that's who I was. That's what I dealt with. And if it was this gospel that set me free from that, well, there's got to be somebody else like me. So I want to make sure they hear the same gospel that set me free. No different than anybody else in here. If it was drugs, alcohol, pornography, gossip, slander that you were maybe bound to, maybe some sickness or disease that was wiping you out, taking you out. Or, you know, I say this very respectfully, you know, especially those who are coming back from the battlefields. Different generations have different terms for it, but today we call it PTSD.
Right.
You know what that is? It's a demon that is trying to minister to people to get them to remember what they went through, to bring them back to those fields. To get them to relive it again and keep them bound to that thing.
Right.
But I'm telling you right now, I know many people who have lived that, walked that, experienced that on the battlefields, military-wise, but also the battlefields of life. The tragedies, the events, the betrayals. That demon functions the same way. Doesn't matter where or who. It tries to get you to relive and stay in that fear, that worry, that anxiety of, is it going to happen again? Is it me? Am I next?
Right.
It's a demon lying.
It is.
I'm not mocking or you know, the psychiatrists and all the stuff that they do. Thank God for them. But it's a demon. But I can tell you, because I know many who have experienced that on the natural battlefields and the battlefields of life, that God comes in and says, I can deal with that demon.
Yes.
I can bring healing to that situation. It doesn't change what happened.
Right.
But God can bring healing and peace to what happened.
Thank you, Lord.
And then what happens? If God could deliver me, I know there's somebody else like me.
Yes.
I got to take this to somebody else who's going through exactly what I'm going through. And that's why I say that carefully and respectfully, because, you know, I've watched different ones, you know, now running with my pastor, who is a Marine. Served in the Vietnam War. I'm careful to say he is a Marine.
Yes.
All these years later. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
Oh, yeah.
Don't make that mistake. Kind of same. But the reality is, the stuff he witnessed, the stuff he saw, he'll tell you firsthand, if it wasn't for God. His wife would tell you firsthand, if it wasn't for God. But because of our God, and because God healed him, he's able to help so many people in that area, those realms, because, and he understands because he lived it. But he's also on the other side of the victory saying, no, God's anointing, God's, the gospel healed me. The gospel made me whole. Amen. No different than in this house. You know, I said it last Sunday. You know, Jenny, Pam, you know, sure, there's still times, you know, 17, almost 18 years later for Jenny and Pam, it's still kind of sort of fresh. God has healed them. Does that mean that they still don't have moments and they think about? Of course they do.
Of course.
But at the same time, God has healed them. God has restored them. So now somebody else is going through the same thing. They can say, listen, I can tell you how you get through this. I went through that. I've experienced this. And it was God's anointing. It was the gospel. Now, everybody, different times, different, you know, pace, whatever, but the same thing. It was the gospel that brought healing. It was the gospel that restored. It was the gospel. It was God's good news that even dealt with me on some of the issues I was still dealing with that I didn't even know I was dealing with. Why do I keep going into this? Why do I keep falling for this? And God says, listen, I've got some good news for you. I got an answer as to why that's happening, and here's why. And when then God begins to speak, well, the answers not only come, but also the power to beat that thing. The power to get victory in that area. Amen?
Amen.
The power of the gospel. It keeps producing after itself. Not only sustaining you, but to help other people. But you keep that tank full.
Thank you.
Amen? You keep that tank full. Go to Romans chapter 10. How do we keep the tank full? Romans chapter 10. I know you know these verses. Romans chapter 10, you know, verse 9, it talks about, you know, that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It starts with your relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't start with you having a thought about him. It doesn't start with you having an idea about him. It doesn't start with you, well, I've got a religious picture of him. It starts with you meeting him. Because once you meet this Jesus, you find out he's not some religious figure. He's not some picture on a wall. He's not some, and no offense, but he's not a crucifix. No, no, no. He is the living, tangible, ever-present Son of God. He is God. He's the true and living. Say living.
Living.
Living God. He's not a dead God. He's a living God. And this isn't just some distant relationship. He wants to have an active, close encounter with you. But he wants it to remain there. So it starts with that believing in your heart. Confession of your mouth. Now, I just said it. That confession is, okay, maybe the prayer of salvation, sure. But it goes deeper than that. What you're confessing is what you believe, and what you believe is what you do. So that prayer, confessing with your mouth, is, okay, I met you. You're my Lord, so I'm going to walk with you. And my life is going to prove it. I am now confessing what my life will look like. I'm confessing, I'm professing how I'm going to live this life out. I'm walking with you. I'm walking by you. I'm doing it your way, not my way. Amen. And then, of course, you know, you keep the tank full, because we got to start there. But you keep the tank full, verse 17, where it says, now faith cometh by hearing and hearing. And every preacher does this, so you know you're going to get it. And hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. The greatest tool a preacher has is repetition. Why? Because not everybody gets it in the first application. Not every person hears everything I say and every message that I say. Because God may be dealing with you something, or I see people taking notes right now. You may be writing a note, I may have just said something, and you missed the first part of it. So this is why we keep preaching the same thing over and over again, because sooner or later, you're going to get all the pieces together. And it's going to build faith. But you notice that it says faith comes by hearing. It doesn't say by reading. It doesn't, well, you know, because I hear this all the time. Understand the context in which I'm saying this. You are supposed to study your Bible. You are supposed to read your Bible. That you are supposed to do.
Yes.
I'm talking about the ones that say, well, I don't need church. I read my Bible. You're in trouble.
Yes.
Now, thank God you're reading your Bible, but you got a problem. You can't produce faith. My pastor says it this way: your eyes were never given authority to produce faith. The Bible says your ears are. You hear it. You hear it. No preacher, no theologian can explain this. We just have the proof. You're the proof. Now, yes, you can read the Bible, you can get understanding, you can get revelation, and God does that in your private time, in your prayer time. But it took somebody preaching it to you first. It takes somebody preaching to sustain it. It takes somebody preaching it for you to get it. You keep your tank full because of faith, through faith, by faith. You keep building your faith, amen? That tank stays full to keep the engine running, to keep the alternator going, to keep that dunamis power reproducing after itself. Amen? So, how are you going to hear it? Well, we go back a few verses. Go back to verse 14. It says, how then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? All right, so unless you have a preacher, because we already know this, you know these verses, but unless you have a preacher in your life that God has ordained to preach into your life, because the Bible says that Jesus places you into his body where he sees fit, not where you see fit, where he sees fit. Because he knows the anointing on what preacher has the anointing that you need in your life. Now, the anointing is God's. We know that. But God knows who you're supposed to sit under. I was thinking about this morning, and I'm like, you know, God, you are so good. Only you could do this. We have two individuals in here right now that I'm now their pastor. And I'm honored to be their pastor. I'm blessed to be their pastor. But only God could orchestrate this. Miss Ramona sitting in the front row. She went to a whole bunch of churches out in Midland. She found her way to Living Word Church, where my pastor, Dr. Barclay, is the pastor, founding pastor, and still the pastor, was her pastor for many years. Time, issues, life, she ends up out here in Winchendon. And she spent her time, because she's a woman of God. She serves God. She walks with God. She knows how to do this. So she knows, as a believer, I'm supposed to be in church. Because I need that man, that woman of God, speaking into my life so I can do what I'm called to do. And she did, because she's a faithful daughter of the Most High. She found churches, and she went to one church, didn't really fit in, went to another church, you've heard her testimony.
Yeah.
Found one, went to one, and then after a while, just like, well, I'm not finding, but I know I need to be. So she just kind of, well, until something, I settled here. She started serving, because that's what we do as believers.
Yes.
We not only find a church, we get involved in church. And then, nobody will convince me otherwise, I believe it was an angel.
For real.
Because she's never found that guy, we never saw that guy, but somebody told her, hey, we had an awesome service last night at our church. I know everybody who was coming to our church at that time, and nobody fit that description.
Yep.
But got her attention. She walked in. The first time she walked in, she said, I'm home. Here's my point. God called her to Living Word to sit under Dr. Mark T. Barclay, because what the anointing on his life is what she needed for her life, and God knew that. She comes out this way looking for a church, and she can't find any place where she's finding that anointing that she needs in her life. But God somehow, coincidentally, give me a break, connects her with a man of God who was connected with the man of God that she just came from, because we preach the same gospel, we live the same gospel, and that happens to be my pastor. So the same anointing that's on him is on me, which is the same anointing that she needs in her life. That's why she fit in there, and that's why she fits in here. Amen. Well, that's only one account. Okay, let me give you another. Our brother Jordan. And he said it to me the first time he came. He goes, Pastor, we met a couple of services afterwards, and he's like, Pastor, I got to be honest with you. The first service, I didn't hear a word you said. I'm like, well, I could. That's okay, because most people don't listen to me anyway, so I'm used to that. I did not. I might have said that. And he said, this is why. He said, because where he's stationed for this season of his life, he's stationed down in Connecticut. It's about a two-hour drive, and he couldn't find a church down there. And then he remembered that we're in this area. He contacted Pastor Chuck Eveline, who is not just somebody I'm friends with. He's one of my spiritual dads.
Yes.
And he came up here, which is almost a two-hour drive, and he said, I was kind of arguing with God the entire service. Lord, is this where you really want me? It's 2 hours. This church is closer. And God said, no, this is where you're supposed to be. This is where you plant yourself. Why? Because his pastor, where he came from, is one of my fathers in the faith. We preach the same message. We have the same anointing. We're doing the same call. And the anointing that was on Pastor Chuck is also on me to help him walk the life he's supposed to walk. See, it's finding where you're supposed to be so you get the right fuel that you're supposed to have for the tank you're supposed to be running. Because, forgive the car. You can run certain cars and certain fuels. But if you want a high performance machine,
yes.
You got to go to the premium. You got to get the right fuel in there. It's going to cost you a little bit more. It's going to cost you a little bit more. But the payoff, come on, all the car guys in here, you know this. The payoff,
yes.
When you get that right fuel in that motor, oh, come on. You got a high-performance machine doing what it was designed to do. Oh, you can run garbage in it, and it'll run. It'll spit. It'll sputter. Just like you can find whatever church you want because it'll tickle your fancy. But if you want the power of God reproducing after itself the way it was designed to produce after itself in your life, you got to get into the place that God has called you so that your faith can be built, because how are they going to have faith and call upon him if they haven't heard? And how are they going to hear? How are they going to hear without a preacher?
That's it.
And that word preacher means somebody who heralds the word publicly, anointed to preach the truth, and the anointing is proving the truth being preached.
Yes.
You need healing in your life? Why are you going to a church that's against healing?
Right.
Obviously, that's not you. We believe in healing. I'm just making a statement. If you're believing for deliverance, why are you going to a church that says once a, always a? If you want to walk under the anointing of God, the power of God, the presence of God, don't you think maybe you should go to a church where the Word of God has preeminence? Yes. His entire Word? Yes. Not just the pieces you like? Yes. We don't come to church and treat it like a Thanksgiving turkey dinner? You pick the pieces you like and you discard the rest? See, if it was up to my wife, she'd cook the turkey, stuff the turkey, and only eat the stuffing, throw out the bird. My daughter loves the drumsticks. Carly and I, we like the darker meat. But we have a tendency to pick and choose what we want and discard the rest. God says, I'm going to put you in a place you're going to get the full counsel. I'm going to put you in a place that you're going to get premium. Not subpar and not some wheat mixed in. We're going to throw some corn in that fuel. No, we're going to give you premium. We're going to give you high octane. Amen? So how are they going to hear without a preacher? See, if we're going to have the anointing of God, if we're going to keep that tank filled, you may have the preacher who's not ashamed, but are you ashamed to sit in here and listen? See, this is a two-part deal. See, I think you guys already know, I don't care. I say that with love. I don't care, I'm going to preach what God said to preach. I don't care how many people mouth off on Facebook. I don't care how many people make the stupid little comments on our stream. I don't do my stream for them. We do the stream for those who are looking for what we're offering. So I want to get off of that really quick. But I don't care what they have to say. You know why? It's easy to say it doesn't work when you don't work it.
Yes, that's right.
But you can't deny what God's doing in here. People's lives being changed, people being set free, people being delivered. Dead being raised, God restoring families, God restoring, God healing, God delivering. You can't deny what God is doing. If you're going to deny it, the only thing you can really do is lie about it. But in here, we're not denying what God's doing. And we're not ashamed of what He's doing. We're not ashamed of God. We're not ashamed of His Word. We're not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. We're not ashamed of tithing. We're not ashamed of speaking in tongues. Because that is the Holy Spirit, one of the signs, not the only sign, but it's one of the signs of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know what's also part of the signs of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit. You know, actually living and walking this way, God helping you to do it. And of course, coming to church, you find out, you hear the preacher who doesn't care what you think about what he's preaching. He's going to tell you your life is wrong. I say that with a smile. So hopefully you don't stone me or throw something at me. Because that's what one of our assignments is. It's not to go around pointing fingers at you. But we bring this word. And this is what God says. This is how we're supposed to live. And it's your job to say, you know what? He was bold enough to say that to me. That's what it says. My life is wrong in that area. Because that's what God said. Now am I bold enough to apply that to my life? That the power of salvation is working in my life. That healing, delivering, sanctifying, come on, and every other blessing that goes along with the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, I want to end with this. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's my part. I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not embarrassed of this. You know, people get funny. They get weird. Around here, around Christians, they talk Christianese. Hallelujah, praise God. But then they get out there and all of a sudden they got to change their vocabulary. They got to guard their words. Why? They already know who you are. They watched you walk in. They watched you walk into that church. They know what that church is all about. Well, let me rephrase that. They think they know what that church is all about. They saw you walk in. They know you're a Christian. You know, the fact that you were walking into a building carrying a Bible kind of gave it away. So, yeah, the part of that is, you know, I'm not ashamed. I'm not trying to hide this God. No, I'm trying to show this God to everybody I come in contact with. The other part of that, God's promise is, my gospel will never put you to shame. My gospel will never embarrass you. My gospel will never hurt you. My gospel will never harm you. In fact, my gospel has nothing but good for you. I don't know. Maybe the world. You can stand to your feet right now. You know, some people think, I don't know why, they think it's better to walk in sickness and disease. I don't know. The gospel says that I can be healed. So I walk healed. Anytime that sickness tries to come knocking on my door, because God never said it wouldn't come knocking, I just don't give it access. And when I recognize it's trying to infiltrate, I take it to the Word. I take it to the gospel. I've never been embarrassed to say, you know what, you know, this sickness came, but, you know, because somebody, oh, I went through that 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 10 weeks, and oh my God, it was horrible. Well, I took it to God, I prayed, and after 2 days, I was back up and going. I've had, over the last couple of years, you know, I've had a couple of things, you know, it go, you know, like everything else in life, it just kind of goes through, and people, it knocks them out for a week or two, and I'm like, and it does. We're not exempt.
Right.
Comes knocking on my door. I might have that night. My wife will testify of this. I might have that night. It's like, you know what? This thing's kind of kicking my butt. But I'm not living like this. That next morning, I'm up and going as if nothing ever happened, because nothing happened, because I was healed. Because I'm not ashamed to say, Lord, I'm not above coming to you because I need healing. I may not be able to get to the elders because my elders aren't here. No offense to you elders in here. You're not my elders. I mentioned two of them, my pastor and Pastor Chuck. I can't get to them, but I can text them. I can call them. Hey, I'm fighting this. Can you just stand in agreement with me? Amen. And I can lay hands on myself. In Jesus' name, by the stripes of Jesus, this body is made whole. Amen. Little secret, you can do that too. Amen. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to pray in tongues.
Amen.
Out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, some of the times we're just talking to God, we don't even realize we're praying in tongues until somebody says, what'd you just say? Oh, I wasn't talking to you. Well, who are you talking to? I was talking to God. I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to say who my pastor is.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to say what church I belong to, or what, you know, we kind of call it, what camp I'm part of.
Sure.
I'm not ashamed of that. Why? Because it's Jesus.
Yes.
It's what he's done in my life. It's what he's doing in my life. And it's what I can see him doing in the lives of others. I'm not ashamed of this. Amen. And may that same spirit get on you. If you're, when we come back on Tuesday, I'm going to be dealing with 2 Timothy 1:7. We're continuing this. And no, this isn't because my wife preached an amazing message on Thursday. I don't even know what she preached. These are my notes while she was gone. So, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't streaming on Thursday. I didn't hear the message on Thursday. So no, I didn't know what she preached, other than she came home and told me what she preached, and one of the guys said, hey, this message on fear really helped me. What's your point, Pastor? I'm not ashamed. Don't you be ashamed. God's gospel will never bring you shame. I think it's shameful to know that God's a healer and walk in sickness. I think it's shameful to know that he's our provider and we walk in lack. I'm not talking about having so much money that, you know, you got more money than God. No, I'm talking about having your needs met. The supply that you need. Where God guides, Book of Isaiah 58 says it. Where God guides, God provides. If God's leading you, he's got the supply for you. Right? I think it's shameful to our God if we know what he's doing and we don't let him do it. If we don't trust him in it. We don't allow him to do these things. That's shameful. But when he shows up, it'll never bring you shame.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. The power of God is the gospel unto salvation. And that same power keeps producing after itself. When you get in the right place and you keep the right fuel in the tank, you keep that thing going. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Everybody lift your hands to heaven right now. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this house this morning. Lord, we thank you for your anointing. Each and every time we preach your word, it's not just words that we're saying. This is why eyes were never permitted to receive and produce this type of faith. It's the anointing that's attached to the words that are spoken, that our ears receive, that gets, yes, into our heads, but ultimately down into our hearts. Producing faith because of the anointing attached to the word. So, Father, we thank you. Faith is being produced in here. Faith unto salvation. Complete salvation. Saved, healed, delivered, made whole, made to prosper. It's your word with your anointing producing and us activating it, living it, walking it, working it. Lord, I thank you that your anointing is here today, helping each and every one of us. Whatever we're believing you for, whatever we're facing right now, whatever we're up against, you have the answer. You've got the supply. You have the deliverance. Peace is coming. Victory is on the horizon. Because of your anointing, because of your word, and because of our faith and our trust in you. And as these things come to pass, it's just going to further build more faith, more trust, more anointing being produced in our lives to accomplish all the things that you want to get done in our lives and through our lives. Father, we thank you for this. Lord, I pray over everybody right now this morning. You spoke some words during worship. May those words spoken not fall on deaf ears. May those words be received, grabbed a hold of, protected by those that need those healing miracles. May you do what your word says that you would do. You are the healer, not were, you are. Healing's for us today. Tomorrow may be too late. We need it today. So Lord, we thank you for that healing working in our bodies right now. Father, I speak peace to anybody and everybody who might be dealing with things right now. Cares of this life, storms raging in their lives. Things in their lives that have been altered suddenly. Lord, I speak peace to them right now, that you bring them peace, comfort, and clarity. Now, Lord, we have some people in our church that they do need healing miracles. So, Father, right now, we stand in agreement for those that need those miracles in their bodies. We speak it right now. I know what they believe. I know their confession. So we're just connecting our faith with them, connecting our confession with them that they're in recovery mode. Yes. Healing, restoration, wholeness is coming back into them quickly in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this. I praise you that you are the healing, miracle-working God. And I thank you for those miracles working in our bodies right now. Right now, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody just lift your hands to heaven. Just worship him for a moment. Just praise him for a moment. Lord, we just thank you. We worship you. We honor you this morning. We praise you this morning. Lord, I don't know about everybody else, but to me, this feels like a continuation from last Sunday. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the anointing. Based upon the reports I got, it's the same anointing that was here Thursday. Thank you, Jesus. You are working miracles right now. Every time we come to church, doesn't matter who the preacher is, if we're preaching your word by your spirit, your anointing's going forward. So, Lord, we thank you. Matt, when he stood up here on Tuesday preaching about redemption, we are the redeemed. We're not trying to be, we are. Because of what you've done, you've redeemed us. You paid the ransom. There's nothing that can hold us back or pull us back. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Say that right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.